What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord today and to bring before you the precious Word of God. Would you take 1 Peter, let's look at chapter 1. We continue our series, Worthy is the Lamb, and we're going to pick up in verse 3, and I am following up last week's message. Last week we looked at the value of a saved life at the beginning. Today we're going to look at the value of a saved life from the afterlife perspective. What is the value that the Scriptures puts upon your life as a Christian, as someone who has come to Christ through faith, received His grace? And we're going to look at it from that perspective. We're going to conclude today's message with a question. Knowing this, how then should we live today? Well, let's pick up in verse 3 as a way, a little preamble going into verse 4 and 5. Blessed, praise, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today, look at this part. He's to an inheritance. Resurrected to give you an inheritance, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're going to talk about that inheritance. The glory of your inheritance as a believer in Christ reflects your value to God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you come to faith in Christ, you move from being a slave to sin to being a child of God. You, my friend, are in that role as a family member. God considers you a child that is returned back home, and He has an inheritance for you. And when you look at the value of that inheritance, it reflects the value God places on your salvation, on your life. Says of this inheritance, it is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. Now, I've been thinking about this idea of an inheritance. You don't really do anything for an inheritance, if you really think about it. And some people don't really get an inheritance. I've known people in my own family. Their parents gave them a good name. That's a great inheritance. Gave them love, showed them the gospel, raised them in church. But as far as a physical inheritance, they received nothing but a bill for the funeral. And they went through the house and all the children went through and picked a memento, a trinket to put and to then pass down to a grandchild, really of no value other than it reminded them of their parents. And because of that, it was priceless. But they didn't receive an inheritance. I've known other people that received millions and millions of dollars, businesses and lands. And I mean, it was like, my goodness, I didn't know Dad ran all of this stuff. I mean, it was just beyond their wildest imagination. But in both cases, neither one of them had anything to do with the value of the inheritance. They were just born into that family. That's it. Well, you and I really don't have anything to do with the great value of this inheritance. We were just born again into this glorious family. But what an inheritance awaits every believer in Christ. He says, look at this structural integrity of this inheritance. It says imperishable. Now, we don't know anything in this world that's kind of like that. And here it says, your inheritance is imperishable. It is not going to be corrupted like the physical human body that decays and rots and gets old. Not this. It is never going to perish. Not only that, look at the spiritual integrity. It's undefiled. It just breaks our hearts once you taste of the goodness of God and you see the evidence of God around you in your world, and your eyes are open to this glorious, transforming love that is in Christ Jesus. It makes even more the darkness so dark. The corruption in our world so corrupt. The selfishness and the lust and the hate and the death and the murder and the senselessness. We long for a place where the river is crystal clear, unpolluted, undefiled, and your inheritance is pure in its spiritual integrity. The next thing is aesthetically. Here described as unfading. It's unfading. I love this word because it speaks of the beauty, a beauty that's ageless, that needs no special anti-wrinkle cream. You know, I thought that beef had gone up in price. And I kind of measure food by per pound, you know, the price per pound. Well, don't mention this to my mother. My mother at 85 is beautiful. Most people will compliment my mother at 85 like they wouldn't guess her age. I mean, she could win all the teddy bears at the fair just guessing her age. You'd never guess she was 85. But she has a routine she's kept for thousands of years. I mean, decades, excuse me. And now I order everything online for her. She's done figured out the internet. Man, I'm telling you, every day I have an order from Amazon, eBay, all kinds. So I got introduced to the world of anti-wrinkle oils and creams. I didn't know this world existed, but it does. What they sell this stuff 1 ounce at a time. 1 ounce at a time. Folks, I'm telling you, if you think prime rib has gone up per pound, multiply the price of anti-wrinkle cream, especially the French stuff that comes out of France, I'm telling you, and then multiply it by 16. It'll take your breath away. It's expensive. You know why? Because everything in this world fades away. All the beauty fades away. But you have such a valuable inheritance that awaits you. Its beauty is never taken away. It shines like the sun perpetually. It's just perpetual in its beauty. And then it has a secured integrity. It's kept in heaven for you. Now, this is an amazing word here because we're going to see the same idea just a little bit later in the same passage. But this is a little bit, it means watch over. Have you ever had a book bag? Now that y'all can't have school lockers in school, you got to carry all your stuff in book bags. I don't know. Back in the day, we had our own lockers and you locked all your stuff. Had a book bag. You got to ask your buddy, would you watch my stuff while I go over here? Would you watch over it? And you expect when you leave that they are literally just doing this right here at your book. They're just watching it. Now, they're not, I hate to tell you, they're not. They're not even paying attention to it. But that's what you're expecting. Here it says your inheritance is so valuable, it is being kept. It is being watched in the most secure place they could ever be, in heaven for you. That is an amazing inheritance that awaits us. I don't know what you got down here, but it doesn't compare to anything like what you're going to receive when you meet Jesus. He's kept it. Oh, look at not only the glory of this inheritance, but the greatness of the defense that guards you reflects your value to God the Father. Did you know that not only is your inheritance being kept, watched over, but you are being kept. You are being guarded, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. You and I are being guarded. Some of your translation uses the word kept there, but it's a little different Greek word there. And there it means a sentinel, a personal guard. Now, my parents always told me that I had an angel following me. And there is some interpretations of the scripture says each of us has a guardian angel. Ever heard that? Now, what she and my dad meant by that is, if you do something wrong, we're going to find out about it. Turns out my guardian angel was Mrs. Kennedy down the road that knew everything going on our street. But this is even better. The Bible says, who by God's power you are being guarded. Isn't it nice to know that you, that your gift of salvation is being kept by God? You see, many of us feel like somehow we've got to keep churning out some good things and we've got to keep being good somehow that we can keep our salvation. No, my friend. You're not holding on to God. God's holding on to you. You see, you're not just barely hanging in there. If I could just be good enough, maybe I can keep this glorious thing. No, my friend, you weren't good enough to get it. You're not good enough to lose it. You're not bad enough to lose it. You're not anything. It's God's work in you, and the work He gave you, He's keeping it and guarding it, and He's guarding you. Not just any power, God's power that is guarding you. You ever seen these pictures before? There is no limousine like the presidential limousine on the face of this planet. You can't buy that limousine. They wouldn't make that limousine for you. Talking about the Secret Security, there's no guard like the Secret Security. The things those people do and train and what they're willing to do to guard one person. There's no plane on like Air Force One. And there's no house like the White House. All of that is for one human being on the planet. All of that effort, all that training, all that training, all that money for one person. Don't you think that the greatness of this defense speaks to what we think of the value of the President of the United States of America? Surely it does. That man is important. How? Look at how much we spend just to guard him. And if that's true about the President, how much more does God think about your value when the power of God Himself keeps you? Don't you ever forget the price He paid and the power He spends because of you. How does He do this? You say, well, how does He guard me? Through faith. Through faith. Faith in what? Faith in, what do you mean faith? Look at verse 3. This would be another great summary. It's faith in God. Faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Faith in the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. It's faith in God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, do you believe in the mercy of God that saved your soul and we are begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? My friend, that's faith. And that's what we believe. How many times have I had people in my ministry come to me and say, Pastor, I'm just not sure about my salvation. And I ask them, I get to talking, and normally it's some failure or some crisis in the world or some worry or anxiety that's overwhelming their spirit, and they go back to thinking, Somehow this is up to me. No, my friend. Salvation is a free gift of God that only Jesus Christ could have won, that only Jesus Christ could have purchased with his own blood, perfect, precious blood. Only Christ can give this gift, and you can only receive it by faith in him. You know what gives us the security? It's not when we believed or how far back we believed or how sincere we were when we believed as a child or a teenager or last year or last month. Believe right now. What do you believe right now? Because, my friend, a faith that saves is a faith that lasts. That it's real. That's why when back in my testimony, I look back at the age of 12, I knelt there in my bedroom and my mother was there and I said a prayer. I can't tell you what type of prayer it was or even the words exactly. I know my heart. I know I was turning from my old life. I knew I was sorry for my sins and I meant that. I knew I was placing my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never doubted what Christ has done, though I have doubted at times, was I ever worthy of it? And the answer is no, I've never been worthy of it. Not from what I've done, but Christ has bestowed on you and me his worth. The worth of Christ has been given to us, and he claims, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I have an inheritance. I'm not only keeping it in heaven for you, I'm keeping you. That's how valuable, my friend, your salvation is. That's how valuable you are to God. And how do we do it? Through faith. What do you believe today? Do you believe that you once were a sinner and you came to faith? You repented of your sins and you received Jesus Christ as Lord. And since that time, you've been growing and learning. You've failed and repented and turned to Christ, never having lost your position as a child, though sometimes your fellowship, you're out of fellowship. In relationship, it's been closer at times, it's been farther away at times, but you were always a child because of what Christ has done. He saved you. My friend, the greatness of the defense tells you about the value of the person being defended, and by God's power, you are being kept through faith. The grandeur of the gift reflects your value to God the Father. This verse 5 concludes, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. For a salvation, a glorious revelation, a glorious uncovering is going to happen, and you're going to see just how wondrous, just how magnanimous, just how beautiful the grace of God is when he saved your sinful soul from hell, when he gave you his righteousness, when he died in your place, when he rose, you could rise again, when he gave you his love and patience and kindness and goodness all the days of your life. My friend, as good as we think we know it is, we have yet to see the glorious revelation in that last time of how wondrous the salvation of God is for you. And because of the grandeur of the gift and the party that's going to happen, my friend, it speaks to how valuable God thinks you are, dear saved Christian. The value of a saved life. I love reveal parties. But the best reveal parties are saved at the end of a life well lived, a life that accomplished something. I don't watch these very often, these award shows, and for some reason here lately they've kind of gone off track, but there's one show I do like. It's called the Kennedy Honors. Anybody ever seen the Kennedy Center, named after President Kennedy, started by President Eisenhower. after Kennedy was assassinated, Kennedy was actually raising money for this center. It was going to support the performing arts, dancing and singing, both classical and contemporary performing arts. And it's in Washington, D.C. They built it. They named it after President Kennedy after he was assassinated. And today, for 37 years, they pick lifetime achievement honorees, 4, 5, 6 per year. The president sits right next, and the first lady, in the skybox of this beautiful theater in Washington, D.C. And these artists have no idea. They know they're getting the medal. They know they're being honored, but they don't know who is going to honor them. They don't know who's going to sing. They don't know who's going to be pulled out to commemorate, to honor all of their lifetime of achievement. It's a surprise. It's an unveiling, an undraping. Well, the last one had people I knew. Billy Crystal, a comedian, was being given this medal. But the one I wanted to see was Barry Gibbs. Yeah. The Beat. Man, now you're talking my language. I remember the Bee Gees. I remember when their albums came out. I mean, the records. I mean, what are you, the vinyls. But there was a lady being honored named Renee Fleming. I'd heard the name. Couldn't tell you one thing she's ever sung. She's a singer. It turns out that Renee Fleming is a stellar soprano who crossed over into the pop world, to popular culture. She won 5 Grammys. She is a soaring 3-octave soprano, operatic soprano. That's why I'd never heard of her. I mean, the closest my music collection gets to classical is the Cathedral Quartet one time recorded their soundtracks with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. That's the height of my classical training right there, the Cathedral Quartet. Well, Renee Fleming is the first operatic star to sing the national anthem at a Super Bowl. So the popular world, she had done movies and things like that. Beautiful, soaring. There's no limit to this lady's range. Well, they, to honor her, you could tell she was surprised. They brought out 4 of the most gifted current operatic sopranos to sing her famous aria that she's known for called Sing to the Moon, also called The Silver Moon. Now, I can't tell you the words of it because when they sang it in a foreign language. I don't know if it's Latin, Italian. I didn't know. I didn't understand it. But each one was featured on a part of it, and then they would come together and sing it together, and then another would be featured. They sing it together. This song concludes. These sopranos conclude this song singing in unison, and they take off like a rocket. A vocal rocket, they soar to these high notes like a ledge on top of them, and then they leap off, drop an octave, boom, boom, and the orchestra forcefully ends on a downbeat, and there is a moment of echo of grandeur in that auditorium, of pure silence, and then roars of standing ovation and bravo, bravo, bravo. In that moment, when I was watching it live, and since then I've looked at it again, I think, I mean, literally, it's just me and Terry in there, and I wanted to stand up and do bravo, bravo. I have never done that in my life. I don't even know what that means. I think it means good, real good. I've never done it. It'd be awkward, just me and Terry sitting in there in my, never mind. And so I'm watching this thing, but inside there is something. I didn't know the words. I'd never heard the song. I'd have never even seen these 4 ladies. And yet there was something universal that moved my spirit beyond cultural conditioning or exposure. There was something spiritual about that moment. There, my friend, is a world that is speaking to you today, that is calling to your spirit. It's not about opera. It's a longing for a world that is beautiful and it never fades. A world that is not corrupt. A world that is not filled with hate and cursing and murder and greed. A world that is true. A world that is about Christ. And that world exists, and that inheritance awaits all those who trust Him right now, who call Him Lord, who say, Father, forgive me, save me of my sins. I want to follow You, not just for this life, not only to have glimpses of grandeur and glory crash down into this broken flesh of mine, but to know that one day there's a real inheritance that awaits us. A part of it. How valuable are you? Every one of us probably knows who this fellow is. One of the most gifted basketball players of all time. But he set history last year. Do you know what he did? He became the first active NBA player worth $1 billion. The first active NBA player $1 billion. You probably don't know this fellow. I didn't know him. But at the end of 2023, he was the wealthiest man on planet Earth. Now, stock prices change this every day. Right now, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are vying for 1 and 2, and this guy's 3. But last year, he finished number 1. And he is 211 times wealthier than the basketball player you know. He's worth $211 million. You know what he does? He owns 75 brands of clothing and fragrance. I told you there's money in makeup, folks. I'm telling you. He owns Louis Vuitton. He owns Sephora. If that's how you pronounce it. I focus on, could we go to Walgreens? They got stuff at Walgreens. Sephora, that's the place. But can I tell you something today? These guys, if they do not know Christ, and I don't know their relationship to the Lord, you could combine their wealth together, they would not compare to your value as a child of God. Because everything they have is going to burn away. You've not even imagined the goodness that is about to be given to you. What's in your inheritance? That'll never pass away. God values your life more than you probably do. An incredible, eternal, beautiful inheritance is being kept for you. In fact, you are being kept by God's own power right now to ensure you will be there for its great final unveiling. I have a question. Knowing the inheritance and the value that God places on your life, how should you live? How should you live knowing just how valuable you are to God in Christ? What should really matter the most to you? What's your real inheritance you're trying to enjoy? And how will we live today? If you don't know Christ, today's your day. Receive the most valuable gift, and even more so, an inheritance that's still awaiting you. But you can receive salvation right now by turning from your old life and turning to Christ. Perhaps you need a church home. Or maybe this altar just becomes a place where you can lay down some things and say, God, I've not lived up. I've not lived up to what you think of me. I've been living to what the world thinks of me. I need to live to what you think of me. And during this invitation, as we sing about the faithfulness of God, turn your heart to Him. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father, as our musicians gather, as we prepare our hearts, Lord, help us. Help us be mindful today of what you're wanting to do in our life. Help us know what you have for us. Lord, help us be moved to see the value of our life, of our faith, how beautiful, how glorious it can be. And if it's not, let's get that right today during this invitation. Hear our cries, O Lord. Hear our call for help. Right our hearts as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? Would you come as the Lord leads you today?